Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And as I mentioned before the break, last summer, former President Jimmy Carter announced that he had melanoma, a deadly cancer that had spread from his liver to his brain. As a country hearing this news, we felt a loss. Once melanoma spreads, it is very dangerous and traditionally hard to treat, traditionally a death sentence for so many. He assured us he was okay with that.
You know, I've had a wonderful life. I've had thousands of friends, and, you know, it's in the hands of God, whom I worship, and I'll be prepared for anything that comes.
But then, this past winter, Carter made an announcement which seemed like a miracle.
Well, an MRI of my brain, the four places were still there, but they were responding to the treatment, and when I went this week, they didn't find any cancer at all, so I have good news.
Carter had been treated with immunotherapy, a relatively new cancer treatment which harnesses the patient's own immune system to fight cancer. The practice, long a medical dream, is just becoming a reality. You might have recently read about immunotherapy in the New York Times. They've done some really good in-depth articles in these recent days because it was a three-part front-page report on the topic, to be specific. So with us to explain how the cancer treatment works is Dr. Jed Walchuk, chief of the Melanoma and Immunotherapeutic Service at Sloan Kettering. Thank you very much for joining us, Doctor. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate the opportunity.
So on the anecdote first, Jimmy Carter, 90 years old with cancer in his brain, completely cured. Is that a fact?
I think cured is a particularly emotionally charged word. It's one of those parts of the cancer lexicon that, you know, brings forth a lot of hope and emotion. I don't think anybody knows if any other person is cured or not. I think what we can say is that the melanoma in President Carter is thankfully under excellent control. And I think that is a fact, you know, that he has announced that and that he has stopped treatment, which is fantastic. And it's actually what we hope for with immunotherapy. It's one of the potential advantages of using this approach for cancer treatment.
And the Times series full of stories of people at death's door with giant tumors that just melted away after receiving immunotherapy. And you were quoted in the articles. Do we really have something here that's almost magic?
I think in the past it was sort of put in the category of magic. Now we believe that it's science and that it's clinical medicine. There certainly are people with several different kinds of cancer that are responding in a very meaningful way to immunotherapy now.
So be specific about the mechanism. Assume our listeners can stand a little biology here. How does immunotherapy work to shrink tumors, even that are major, as in some of the stories in the Times, make them get as small as they are, or really be what some people would call a cure, or at least a major remission?
Right. So to start the biology lesson, I think it's important that, we talk about one specific kind of immunotherapy at first, which is the approach that was used to treat President Carter, as well as the approach that was described in the New York Times story on Sunday, which is called immune checkpoint blockade. And what this is based on is the idea that as a tumor grows inside a patient, the patient may in fact become immunized, but in a not very therapeutic way against the tumor, meaning that the tumor is growing. The patient's immune cells, which as we know are there to protect us against foreign dangers, usually bacteria and viruses, but sometimes tumors. And those immune cells recognize parts of tumors that look different to them and try to make a protective response, try to treat the tumor like a large area of infection and kill it. Now, tumors, because they're constantly evolving, because cancer has to assemble essentially a toolbox of skills in order to, you know, progress inside people's bodies, one of those skills that a cancer evolves is the ability to evade this protective response. And so what we are doing with medicines like the one that President Carter received is to tip the balance, to allow immune cells, which are being held in check by the evasion mechanisms that, that tumors develop, we allow those immune cells now to go past the normal point of physiologic control and become, in essence, supercharged.
Jimmy Carter is on the drug Keytruda. Is Keytruda a checkpoint inhibitor?
Yes, that the generic name for that is pembrolizumab, and it is a checkpoint inhibitor. It blocks a particular checkpoint, which is called PD-1. There are now numerous medicines that have been approved by the FDA that block the PD-1 pathway.
And the other type of immunotherapy is called cell therapy, which involves removing immune cells from the patient and altering them genetically to help fight cancer and put them back in the patient. I guess that's the other one that you were referring to. How successful is that process or practice, and what kinds of cancers does cell therapy work best for?
Exactly. So, in fact, these two areas are complementary. And when we think about using cell therapy, we might imagine using it in an instance where the patient has a kind of cancer that does not generate this type of baseline immune response that needs to be reinvigorated with a checkpoint-blocking antibody. And so what you need to do is to establish a population of immune cells outside the body, genetically engineer them and expand them, and then reinfuse them into the patient. To date, this approach was called adoptive cell therapy, and one type of adoptive cell therapy is called CAR T-cell therapy, is used mainly right now to treat leukemias and lymphomas. However, other kinds of T-cell therapy or adoptive T-cell therapy have shown some success in treating other kinds of cancer, including, you know, some patients with melanoma and some kinds of sarcoma.
Listeners, doctors, cancer patients, anyone else, have your lives been touched by immunotherapy? Have you or are you currently undergoing immunotherapy treatment? Have you administered immunotherapy? Are you an oncologist or even a primary care physician who's trying to figure out what to do with this new information? Or maybe you have questions about immunotherapy for our guest who was quoted in that New York Times series, Dr. Jed Walchok, Chief of the Melanoma and Immunotherapeutic Service at Sloan Kettering. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And doctor, to make this as personal as possible for as many people, because, you know, everybody either has cancer or knows someone who has cancer. That's barely an overstatement. Who should be given encouragement by this, who might be out there right now thinking, gosh, I didn't believe that what I have is really treatable?
That's a really important point. So to date, on August 2016, we know the diseases that respond most often to immunotherapy, specifically checkpoint blockade, are melanoma, kidney cancer, bladder cancer, lung cancer, head and neck cancer, some kinds of lymphoma, some patients with liver cancer, and some subtypes of breast cancer. We're also learning that there are small subsets of people with very common diseases like colon cancer who may respond very well to immunotherapy, but that subset of people have a particular kind of colon cancer that is caused by a failure of the cell's autocorrect mechanism that repairs changes in the DNA. And so that particular kind of colon cancer, which is deficient in this autocorrect mechanism, has literally thousands of mutations or genetic errors. And that's become a bit of a common theme, that the kinds of cancer that seem to generate a better baseline immune response and be amenable to treatment with checkpoint blockade are those that have a lot of genetic damage. Melanoma, of course, because of its relationship with sun exposure, and essentially the exposure of the target organ, the skin, to the sun many hours of many days. And many of those other diseases that I listed, head and neck cancer, lung cancer, bladder cancer, which are related to tobacco smoke. So we're beginning to learn a little bit more about why some cancers respond and others don't, but we are still learning, and we still need to understand much more about the relationship between the immune system and cancer.
Let's take some phone calls. Here's a cancer physician calling from Houston. David, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. Thank you so much for taking my call. I love to listen to your show when I can, which is usually in podcast form.
Thank you.
I'm in the we treat gastrointestinal tumors. And Dr. Walchuk actually just hit on a very relevant point. You know, we do have lots of patients coming in and asking, hey, can I get on a study for immunotherapy? And so far, again, it is this small subset, which is about 10 to 15% of colon cancer patients who actually do respond, at least from what we can tell so far. And I think we need to underscore the point that for many of our patients, particularly with some of the solid tumors that Dr. Walchuk, didn't list, for example, pancreatic cancer, we are still trying to get these immunotherapy drugs to be more effective. And for the moment, for most patients, so far they have not been, so far, that effective. We are, one of our big focuses on for work is how do we improve that? How do we get patients to respond better to these drugs? And, this is going to take years and years of work, and I wanted to underscore that this is still something that we are really going to take a while to tease out. And while I certainly, we're all very enthusiastic, we all really want these medicines to succeed, at the same time, I feel like we just need to have people understand that there is a process, that there's a research process here. And hopefully by the end of that process, which will take time, we'll be much better at using these drugs. But for the moment, they don't help everyone. We just need to keep that in the back of our minds as we think about which patients are appropriate for these clinical trials.
It's good not to give false hope. Thank you very much. Michelle in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for taking my call. So I'm actually calling. In 2011, my father was diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma, which previously was a very grim prognosis. But thanks to the CAR T-cell treatment your guest is discussing, which was especially new then in 2011, he's been in remission for almost 4 years now, and we now celebrate his cell transplant date as a second birthday annually. So it's really opened my eyes and a lot of people's eyes to how quickly oncology is adjusting. And, if you would have gotten this diagnosis 10 years ago, it would have been a very different story.
Amazing. Quite a success story in your dad's case, huh?
Yes, very much so.
Thank you very much. So even just in those two calls, Dr. Walchuk, we kind of have the range. We have the, oh, my God, my father would have been dead if he had gotten this disease 10 years ago, because we now have this and we didn't before. And at the same time, the doctor in Houston makes the point, similar to what you were making, that this is effective for a particular few subsets of patients, and the research hopefully will be able to expand it, but that would be over time.
Absolutely right. I think that one thing to keep in mind is that new treatments like this come along as we go through the systematic process of doing research, and that if a patient with a new diagnosis of cancer is offered a standard treatment which may help to prolong their life, but that they're perhaps assuming that something new like immunotherapy may hold out more hope for them, I think it's important to interpret the data that's known about the efficacy of immunotherapy in different diseases. And what we're not trying to do is to, you know, replace standard treatments which provide benefit for some diseases, like chemotherapy, radiation, surgery, targeted therapy, but rather try to complement those approaches whenever possible.
Stephen in Howell, you're on WNYC. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a question for the doctor. My mother was diagnosed with colorectal cancer, metastatic. It's very aggressive. She is currently undergoing chemotherapy, and, you know, they're debating whether or not they should even up that chemotherapy in the short, you know, in the short term in the future. Basically, my question is, where things are holding as far as that particular type of cancer. That would be metastatic colorectal cancer. Again, it's aggressive. Just wondering if immunotherapy would be help. Something I really wanted to clarify for a while.
Thank you very much. And you did say certain kinds of colon cancer, right, doctor?
Yes. So I think that's an important point. And, there are some kinds of colon cancer which are usually found in people whose families have had a lot of colon cancer or other cancers like uterus cancer, where we see these inherited cancer syndromes that result from the sort of autocorrect mechanism not working right. That small subset of people with colon cancer do respond, and I think if you spoke with your father's oncologist about having the tumor tested for the common term for this is Lynch syndrome, they might be able to advise you better whether trying an immunotherapy is a worthwhile option.
And we're just about out of time, and Stephen, good luck to you and your family, really. but is it possible that this is so new that some oncologists out there who are actually treating patients don't really know about it yet or don't know about its various applications, and that this is one of the useful things of even putting it in a general publication like the New York Times as they played it up so big this week? I don't know how word spreads through a professional physician community in any specialty. Is it possible that there are doctors who could be using this who don't know about it?
I think that a few years ago, that may have been more of a concern when immunotherapy was largely spoken about in the context of relatively less frequent diseases like melanoma and kidney cancer. But I think once it became known that lung cancer especially was amenable to immunotherapy, and since the prevalence of metastatic lung cancer is many, many times higher, and in fact the most common cause of cancer death in the United States, I think it's now widely appreciated that immunotherapy is now known as a conventional approach to cancer treatment rather than an experimental or niche intervention that it was before. And we can actually show, you know, this quite clearly if you look at the meetings of the major oncology societies in the United States, the American Society for Clinical Oncology, the American Association for Cancer Research, where you can always tell where an immunotherapy seminar is going on because it's the room that the fire marshal has closed down and that an annex room has to be opened because there's an overflow audience.
Well, thank you very much for joining us and explaining so much of this to our listeners. Obviously, from the phones, there's so much demand to know about this, and it's good that progress is still being made in cancer research, and now more people know about immunotherapy. Dr. Jed Walchok, Chief of the Melanoma and Immunotherapeutics Service at Sloan Kettering. He was also quoted in the New York Times series these recent days on immunotherapy. Thank you for giving us some time today.
Thank you for the opportunity, Brian.